Good morning, Merry Christmas. I hope you guys have enjoyed your weekend so far, and I hope you have a great day today. And I just want to thank you for stopping and spending an hour or so with us today. And today we're going to look at one more character in the Christmas account. We're going to talk about the innkeeper. Now, those of you that know me, if you've been around Venice for any length of time, you know I'm a big planner. In October, Amy and I went to New York City, and I had every day planned out. I knew exactly what we were going to see and do. I knew where we were going to eat, and I booked our hotel room for October in June, because that's what I do. I wanted to know where we were going to stay. Now, some of you, more like Mary and Joseph. Well, let's just go and we'll find a room when we get there. That would drive me crazy. But that's what Mary and Joseph did. Look at this in Luke chapter 2. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all returned to their own ancestral towns to register for the census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. And he traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee, and he took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was now obviously pregnant. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born, and she gave birth to her first child, a son. And she wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. There was no lodging available for them. Or as we like to say traditionally, there was no room for them in the inn. Jesus was laid in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now we have to understand that a manger can actually refer to the stall that the livestock would be held in, or it can mean literally the feeding trough of livestock. Either way, any way you slice it, Jesus was born in a barn. He was born not in a hospital, not in a palace, not even in a motel. He was born in a barn. And this is the eternal God. This is the Son of God, the promised Messiah. And this event has been predicted and anticipated for thousands of years. Yet when the time came, he was born in a barn. And I think today we should think of this from the innkeeper's perspective. I mean, can you imagine the economic boom to his business if Jesus had been born in his inn? I mean, like one of the biggest tourist stops on the planet is Bethlehem because Jesus was born there. Can you imagine if he would have been born in the innkeeper's inn? That guy would be a hero and a kajillionaire. I mean, if you think about it, it could have been Graceland. It could have been like a Vegas wedding chapel. Michael Jordan was married here. The Son of God was born here. He missed out. There were no rooms available. Now here's our deal. We cannot get self-righteous about the innkeeper. Because we would have done the same thing. First come, first serve, cash only. And in fact, we still do it. I do it. You do it. Our culture does it. We don't make room for Jesus. We push him out of the way. We don't want him to be viewed in public. In fact, we've taken him out of just about every arena in our society. We've even tried to take his name out of Christmas. We've taken his name out of our holiday greetings. But I'm not really here to talk about the culture today, because the culture is far from God and they don't care. I want us to focus on us. I want to talk about us. I want us to think about why we don't make room for Jesus in our everyday lives. And I know some of you are thinking right now, hey, I'm in church today. Put a gold star on your chart. Why don't we make room for Jesus? Why should we make room for Jesus? How do you make room for Jesus? You know, I think that we'll find that our reasons are the same reasons that the innkeeper had. You see, here's our deal. We tend to compartmentalize things. Our brains, our hearts are like compartments. They have compartments. We have a family compartment, and we have a work compartment. We have a sex compartment. I have a Dallas Cowboys compartment in my heart. Broken. We have all of these interests in our hearts. We have to make room for Jesus in our hearts. We have to clear out some space for him. And why don't we make room for Jesus? Well, we just don't pay attention. We don't make room for Jesus because we don't pay attention. We're not even aware that Jesus shows up around us. We are not aware when God is in our lives. And God does. God shows up all around us. Jesus shows up all the time. We just don't see him. We don't recognize. Now, this isn't new to us. It happened all the time in the Bible. Jesus showed up all the time, and people did not realize who he was or what was going on. They saw him, but they didn't recognize him. And we're the same. We are unaware of his presence. And I think Christmas time is a great example. We see him everywhere. We see nativities all over the place. But we don't really think about Jesus because we're not tuned in. We haven't made room for him. In Bethlehem, there was an inn. And the inn was there to take care of travelers. The inn was designed for that purpose. Well, your heart was made for God. We were created for an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. We were made for this. But we must make room for this. Here's another thing. We just crowd too many other things into our lives. We don't have room for Jesus because we crowd too many other things in. And there's just no room for Jesus. And it's true. We got a lot of stuff going on. And some of it's really good stuff. But that stuff crowds Jesus out of our lives. Have you noticed how things accumulate? Have you noticed how things accumulate in your house, in your garage? Well, you know, I don't really have that much stuff. I can't walk around in my garage, but I don't have that much stuff. And we just keep putting more and more stuff out there. And we do the same thing with our hearts. We just keep putting stuff in there until there's no room for Jesus. And sometimes cleaning out your heart and making room in your heart, it's not any easier than cleaning out your garage. Do you know what keeps me from cleaning my garage? Making the time and taking the time. I mean, it's not that tedious. It wouldn't be that big a job. I'd just rather watch football. It's that simple. You know, making room for Jesus is not that difficult. But it has to become a priority. And this is what it really comes down to. We don't think that we need Jesus. We don't make room for Jesus because we think we don't need Jesus. That's really the bottom line. Because our attitude in America, our attitude on the West Side is, we got this. We are self-sufficient. We are self-made, and life is good. And listen, please understand me. I'm not saying your life sucks. That's not what I'm saying today. It probably doesn't. However, you may be exchanging fine or good for great. For me, it's like this, because I love burgers. Probably couldn't tell that. I love burgers. And it's like, In-N-Out is the bomb until you have the counter. In-N-Out is good. It's fast. It's convenient. But that burger can't hold a candle to the beef at the counter. It just can't. And your life may be good, but it will be more fulfilling when Jesus is your Savior and your leader. Because you were created for God. You were created to live for His purposes. And your life can go from good to great. Some of you are like, why should I make room for Jesus? Because Jesus brings purpose, power, and peace to our lives. We were created to be in a relationship with Him, and He brings purpose and power and peace to our lives. When we accept Christ as Savior, we discover our purpose. We were made for meaning. We were made to bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ. And we do that by growing in Christ and belonging in God's family and serving with the gifts and abilities that God has given us and by telling other people the good news of Jesus Christ. Folks, the significance of our lives is found in living out our God-given purpose. And not only does Jesus give us purpose, Jesus gives us peace. This is what Jesus said in John 14:27. I'm leaving you with a gift. Peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Listen, all of the peace that the world offers is temporary. If somehow in your life on this planet, if you can garner a moment of peace, it will be temporary. Because somebody will drive down Walgrove bumping their music. It'll be temporary. And listen, there are some things that bring peace to our lives. A good job, a portfolio, a good retirement. Those things can bring peace to our lives. But what happens if we lose the good job? Or the stock market goes in the tank and it takes our portfolio and our retirement with it? Our peace of mind goes with it as well. No matter what happens, and even if everything is in complete chaos, Jesus offers us peace. And the world cannot give the peace that Jesus gives. And He is the Prince of Peace. He is the Prince of Peace. He's the only one who can bring real peace. You may feel uncertain about what 2012 will bring, but I'm telling you that Jesus' peace can cover all that as well. A relationship with Jesus gives us purpose and peace and power. You see, the ability to live with peace and purpose is dependent upon God's power in our lives. We just do not have the strength and the stamina on our own. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline." When we give our lives to Jesus Christ, He gives us a spirit of power and love and discipline. He gives us the power to live for His purposes. He gives us the power to live with His peace. He gives us the ability to make room for Him in our lives. Now, here's our deal. Some of us may not be willing to open our hearts to Jesus. Some of us, we may be willing to open up the Sunday room or the Christmas room or the Easter room. But we're not going to open up the sports room or the sex room or the family room. We're not going to open up the job room. We're only going to give him one room. We're keeping the rest for ourselves. Let me tell you what happens to the rooms that you keep for yourself. Those rooms are filled with fear because it's all up to you. God can't bless those rooms because you have control of those rooms. So that brings us to one last question this Christmas, and the most important question. How do I make room for Jesus in my heart? God made it very simple. It's easy to understand. Invite him in. You simply invite him in. You just say, Jesus, you made me. You love me. You died for me. And I open my life to you. In fact, the truth of the matter is that Jesus kind of invites himself into your life. Revelation 3:20, Jesus says, look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. He will come in and you will be friends. You will have a meaningful relationship with him. He invites himself in. You will know God, and you can love him in return. The Bible says in Psalm 37:5, commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him, and he will help you. If we will trust Jesus and invite him in, he'll do the rest. It could be that you haven't made any room for Jesus. You haven't given him any room even last night or today. It's time to let him in. It's time to move your agenda out. It's time to move your sin out. It's time to give him some room. And you can make room for Jesus right now. Would you bow your head with me and just close your eyes? Because I want you to have a moment alone with Jesus right now. And I want to lead you in a couple of prayers right now. First of all, if you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, and you want to turn from your sin, and you want to turn to Jesus as your Savior, just pray this and mean it with all of your heart. And say, Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I've done my own thing. I realize that there's been no place in my life for you. But I believe today that you died for me and you rose again. And I put all of my faith and trust in you. I invite you into my life. I invite you to be the leader of my life. And Lord Jesus, I will do my best from this day forward to follow you. And if you came here today as a Christ follower, and you have crowded Jesus out of your life, would you just say this, Lord Jesus, I turn from my sin today. I turn from all the things that I've allowed to crowd you out of my life. And Lord Jesus, I will no longer give you one little room in my heart. I will give you my whole heart. I will give you everything I have. I will serve you with everything that I have. Today, over the next 2 days in the new year, I'll give you everything I have for your honor and glory. And I pray in your name, thanking you for saving me. Amen.